Welcome to AttorneyBusters.com. Little Elvis? Let's rock! Well, let's rock! This is a little bit of jailhouse rock today. We're doing an interview with a prisoner from Dane County Jail. We're going to tell you how he got there. And you are going to be shocked.
Oh, yeah!
Right, yeah, well, Elvis is going to leave the building shortly. This is Gene 40. This is AttorneyBusters.com. Hello there, Los Angeles, KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk. Again, I am Gene 40, and this is AttorneyBusters.com. We're going to have quite an interesting show for you today, and you people better pay attention to this, all you folks out there. Let me play to you just one little clip we're going to be having.
You have a collect call from...
Steve Magritte.
An inmate at Dane County Jail.
Yeah, directly from Steve Magritte of a Dane County Jail. We hope he's going to be able to be calling in live later on today. And for my listeners that... maybe just came in new today, let me bring you up to date on a story that was given to me by an individual that emailed me a couple of weeks ago about a man by the name of Stephen Magritte out in Wisconsin. Mr. Stephen Magritte currently is in the Dane County Jail in Wisconsin, facing to be sentenced on January 17th to approximately 70 years in prison. And for what? Well, you know, to boil it down, I guess you'd have to say he was essentially a tax protester. I don't quite know if you can actually even say that. What I have is I've done interviews with the individuals, and two of them, well, actually one we're going to be playing today. There's a man by the name of Mr. Dennis Keneally, who happens to be the corporate counsel for the county of Ozaukee, over in Wisconsin, and we're going to find out how the corporate counsel for the county of Ozaukee went forward and was able to get a complaint pushed through at the DA's office over in Ozaukee County that led up to the Attorney General's office, where the Attorney General's office of Wisconsin prosecuted Mr. Magritte under the USA Patriot Act as a terrorist. He has been deemed a paper terrorist. How did all this start? Well, it started by Mr. Magritte, who is aged 57 years old, owning a piece of property of 62 acres over in Wisconsin. Now, this property happened to run along a river and also adjacent to a golf course, which was owned by the city. Mr. Magritte had a contract with the state for a Woodlands Park contract, which gave him a lesser dollar amount in taxes that he was to pay. In 1996, this Woodlands contract eventually was terminated. After its termination, Mr. Magritte told the county that when they sent these bills now for the assessment of taxes on this piece of property, that he wanted them to tell him specifically what right or claim they had to those taxes. Now, a lot of you individuals out there, and this is coming near our tax season, we hear a lot about many groups out there and many people out there that are stating that, you know, the way the United States government is set up right now in charging us personal income taxes and property taxes, that they really do not have a legal right to do that. And this is something that's been going on for years and years and years. But these individuals that are essentially tax protesters have never been termed terrorists. This term terrorist is something new that has now been added, thankfully, I guess, to, apparently, the Wisconsin state by the Attorney General. The Attorney General at Wisconsin was a man by the name of James Doyle. You know what James Doyle is about ready to become, I believe, on January the 6th? He is about ready to become the governor of the state of Wisconsin. Now, Mr. Magritz, as I go back to the time period, he had paid his taxes annually every year up until 1996. But when the contract with the state was terminated and these new tax bills came in, he believed that he was not obligated to pay those taxes, but he told the state and the county, if you can show me where I have to pay these taxes and for what and what rights you have to charge me these taxes, then I'll pay them. Well, what Mr. Magritz then did was he started filing a number of different documents. He went to the county board of supervisors. He went to the county assessors out there. And he asked them repeatedly to have a hearing on this matter. No hearing was granted to him. They didn't recognize him. What Mr. Magritz then did was, well, first of all, they continued with a foreclosure proceedings against this man's 62 acres. They foreclosed on the property. But during this time period of this foreclosing procedure that was going on, Mr. Magritz had again continuously sent letters to the county, sent letters to the county supervisors, and when they were not answering those letters, he then started to send those letters to individuals at their homes. Now, when he started sending these letters to these individuals at their homes, Mr. Magritz did this under the understanding and belief that since they were not operating under the rules of the county court, that essentially they were operating independently. Well, these letters are what eventually caused Mr. Magritz to have a run-in with the county supervisors and got him finally tried as a terrorist. When you come back to hear us here at the program, we're going to start be playing an interview that I had with Mr. Dennis Keneally, and I will go ahead and show you how these conversations with Mr. Keneally leave an awful lot to go ahead and be desired regarding truthfulness. But I'll let you listen to him yourself. This is AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene 40, and we will be right back.
Why AttorneyBusters.com? Attorneys are lying in the courtroom. Judges are letting them get away with it. Does anybody care? Gene 40 at AttorneyBusters.com does. He filed papers proving how a judge knowingly let attorneys lie in his courtroom. That very afternoon, that judge mysteriously retired. 4 years early. Widespread judicial abuse can be stopped. For more information, call 888-211-6035 or log on to the website at attorneybusters.com.
The man about whom attorneys have said, we should do anything to get rid of this maniacal appearing gentleman. Who is the man they called chameleon-like and volcanic? Who is the man an attorney once said in court, he's sophisticated, intelligent, but evil?
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight.
Find out why corrupt attorneys fear him so. Listen to attorneybusters.com. Hosted by Gene 40, Sunday afternoons from 3 to 4.
Who let the dogs out?
When Al Capone did it, it was called racketeering. When attorneys and judges work together, they call it the Good Old Boys Club. AttorneyBusters.com. What is it? Come listen to the program. Tell others about any problems you had with the judicial system. Tell them about that attorney that took your money and did nothing. Or tell them about that judge that looked the other way when you know your attorney did something wrong to you. AttorneyBusters.com on Sundays 3 to 4 with Gene Forte.
Welcome back to AttorneyBusters.com, and you can trouble me. We are at 888-211-6035, and we're talking about Mr. Stephen Magritz, an individual out in Wisconsin that has been tried under the USA Patriot Act, that it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. But I'm going to have you listen to the interviews that I did with the corporate counsel, that is the corporate attorney, Mr. Dennis Keneally from Wisconsin, about some of the questions that I wanted to ask him. And I do want to tell you folks that I had a three-hour conversation with Mr. Stephen Magritz from his jail cell. And I have now placed phone calls to Mr. James Doyle, the governor-elect of Wisconsin, waiting for a phone call back from him. I've placed a phone call to Scott McCallum, the governor that is leaving Wisconsin. I have placed phone calls to the district attorney's office over in Wisconsin. And I got to tell you, folks, here, I am not going to let loose of this, because I got to tell you, I think what we have here at AttorneyBusters.com is exposing to the nation as to why I think that there should be probably a recall of Mr. James Doyle, the Wisconsin governor, until we find out how this ever happened. Because you know what it really smells like? Well, here, let's listen to Mr. Dennis Keneally and my interview that I did with him. I may be playing clips of this, and we'll stop and talk about it along the way. So here we go.
Hello, this is Dennis Keneally. My name is Gene Forte, and we do a program out here in Los Angeles on KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk. Someone had emailed me a couple of weeks ago about a case regarding the Stephen Magritz out there in your area.
Sure, okay.
That apparently you handled the matter.
On behalf of the county, sure. I'm the county attorney.
I was hoping that you could maybe help shed a little light on this matter for myself and my listeners, in that I did an interview with Stephen Magritz, and I've heard his side of the story. I'm trying to fathom here, how did Mr. Magritz get prosecuted under the, I guess, the USA Patriot Act as a terrorist? How did this all come about?
I have no idea. If you're talking his criminal prosecution, that was handled by the Attorney General's office.
Okay, so Mr. Keneally says that he really doesn't know how this really got tried under a special task force and handled by the task force for terrorists. Well, let's go on a little bit farther here.
How did this get to the Attorney General's office?
Attorney General's office, it was that we made a complaint, I believe, I don't know if it was this office or the district attorney, that got complaints from people saying, you know, like the bankruptcy, which I was able to handle, that these UCC filings were impeding the people's property, because people are calling and say, why you got $50 million against you? And they're going, we never did that. So I made a request to the district attorney to basically look into this and prosecute it as a illegal filing of a state document. But district attorney basically said, and I know because she copied me in a letter, saying, this is something that's been going on in the state. The AG's office has a special force that handles this. I'm referring it on to them because they've dealt with the same things in the past. Got there through the district attorney's office referral. They won't get the refer directly here.
Okay, let's summarize a little bit what Mr. Keneally has just told me. Mr. Keneally tells me that essentially he had handled some things there locally regarding the county, and what he was referring to locally that he handled was an injunction proceeding. Now, this injunction proceeding that Mr. Keneally is talking about is essentially he went to the court and sought to get an injunction, in other words, an order from the court to stop letters being sent by Mr. Magritz to some of these county supervisors. If you recall, I told you that Mr. Magritz was asking the county supervisors who and why were they able to tax him on property that he owned free and clear, and simply tell him what authorities they had it upon to do this. Well, he then sought an injunction, Mr. Keneally sought an injunction to stop any of those letters going to any of these supervisors anymore. Well, I asked him about these letters, and I talked about these letters with Mr. Magwitz, and I want to know if this man is now in prison, facing 70 years in prison for being a terrorist, what they've now called a paper terrorist. Did he threaten these people in these letters? Were these letters threatening? But let's find out about this injunction a little bit more from Mr. Keneally's point.
Did you seek an injunction against Mr. Magritte so that he would not be able to send letters to the individuals at their homes?
Yes.
Okay. And that was...
The county did, not me. I represented the county.
You represented the county to go ahead and that was representing, I guess, there's like 37 people or something like that.
Yeah, supervisors and employees, yes.
Okay. So now Mr. Keneally is saying, essentially, that these supervisors that Mr. Magritte was now writing to at their homes, because essentially they were not responding to them at the county board by giving him a hearing, he now, in his minds and his belief, felt that these individuals were not fulfilling their roles as county officials, and therefore he was going to take it to another step to say, if you're not operating as a county official, you're operating as a private individual, and I want to know, who am I supposed to pay these taxes to? Do not foreclose me out of my property. And what Mr. Magritte was doing, Mr. Magritte followed very closely all letters of the law. When he sent these documents to these individuals at their home, he had them notarized. He had them certified mail return receipts. And I wanted to make sure that these letters were not physically threatening letters, right? Let's see what Mr. Keneally answers to that question.
All right. Were these letters that were sent to their homes, were these threatening letters regarding physical bodily damage to
Not
them?
Physical. Emotionally damaging to the people and threatening to confiscate their property by liens or court actions. Not physically threatening.
Okay. So now Mr. Keneally has now confirmed to me what Mr. Magritte said. They weren't physically threatening. But Mr. Keneally says, oh, but they were emotionally damaging these people. They were emotionally damaging. Well, what Mr. Magritte was really doing was he was sending these, what Mr. Keneally refers to as letters, Mr. Magritte was referring to as formal notices. He was telling these supervisors, look it, if you continue to proceed on foreclosure proceedings, I am going to hold you responsible for any damages that I receive. Also, he told these individuals in these letters, now, if you do not believe you're responsible, then answer these letters back and tell me they are not correct. Now, a lot of you individuals out there may have heard at times that if somebody sends you a bill through the mail and you do not dispute that bill and you keep on getting that bill, what eventually happens is that bill becomes a valid claim. Well, this is what Mr. Magritte was doing to these people. He was saying, look it, here's the things I'm saying. I want you to either deny or affirm these statements I'm making. And he had them notarized. And there's some other things regarding what happens when you actually use a notary. A notary does not just verify that that's your signature. It's actually a very special office that is given to that notary public, that it's a binding agreement between corporations. So Mr. Magritte actually was laying some groundwork here that could be very, very financially damaging to these individuals unless they responded back. But you know, they never responded back, not even one bit. Not one bit. I wonder who may have been telling all these county supervisors not to answer any of these letters being sent to them. Would a corporate counsel like a Mr. Dennis Keneally possibly say something like that? Maybe so. Of course. All right, let's go ahead and see what we have coming up here. Ah, paper terrorism.
I want to know who has a claim against my land.
Excuse me, let me start this again. This is Mr. Magritte. And this is Mr. Magritte. I asked him why he was sending these letters to these individuals.
Okay, and what
show me, show me your claim and I'll pay your taxes, no problem.
Okay, and who did you communicate that to?
Well, it was the Commissioner of Public Lands by the name of Daniel Wisniewski, I think it is, the Register of Deeds, who has a say in recording the documents, the county treasurer. Anyone who seemed to have any authority whatsoever as far as having a claim against someone's private land.
All right. And you communicated this to them in writing, right?
Yes, definitely. Okay.
Yeah, because you'd mentioned yesterday, when you and I talked briefly, that essentially you said you made very sure you kept track of the paperwork you were doing to be able to make sure you had the evidence to show what you were trying to get accomplished, right?
Right.
Okay. So you would also have those letters available, and these were these letters answered by these people?
No one ever responded.
Not in any way?
Over the years, no one ever responded to anything. No one responded.
All right, so now we have Mr. Magritz that essentially has stated to us that what he was doing
was... when you started...
He was actually sending these letters to these individuals, asking them to respond, telling him, number one, that either he was totally off base or crazy, but no one was responding to him. Well, this is now starting to develop a paper trail that, as I see it now, became very difficult for these county supervisors to get out of. That is what has happened here. And when they started to get trapped, well, I'm getting a little bit too far ahead of myself in the story. I've already figured out what happened, but as you people start to listen to this out there, you're going to find it interesting. Let me play the next clip. Now, Mr. Magritz, again, as I said, was tried as a terrorist here. Let's play a little bit of this clip and talk about what this group that Mr. Keneally, the corporate counsel for Saki, kept on telling me what this group was.
This is when you start the early trail.
Well, excuse me, actually, we're going to be going to a break in about another minute and a half. Let me give you some additional information. When you come back, I'm going to play clips for you of further conversations with Mr. Stephen Magritz and also from his wife. We're going to have further clips of Mr. Keneally. And what we're going to find is that all this stuff led eventually, again, to Mr. Magritz being tried as a terrorist under the USA Terrorist Act by a special task force. He and his wife were actually removed from their home at gunpoint by a SWAT team. And you know what? This stuff can happen to you because you want to know what it really comes down to being. It's one of the themes that AttorneyBusters.com talks about is when a judge lets an attorney lie or hide documents or steal documents from a file, because we're also going to talk about that, about how documents ended up by being missing from a court clerk's office in Wisconsin. When those things are allowed to happen, you know what happens? You have corruption, conspiracy, collusions, and you got a bunch of really bad people. And when these bad people get caught, you know what they do? They have the power to put you in jail and call you a terrorist. I don't think so. This is AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene 40. Pay attention to what's going on, please. We'll be right back.
Save a place for me. Save a space for me. In your heart.
Every year, the United Negro College Fund helps thousands of students go to college. But for everyone we help, there's one we can't. Not without the funds.
Save a place for me.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Save a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Call 1-800-332-UNCF.
A message from the Ad Council.
The doors are open.
The lawyers are chasing the ambulances.
But who's chasing the lawyers?
You don't know how much these attorneys right now are digging into your pocketbook every single day. While you're sleeping, while you're awake,
you think they're actually representing your interests.
Attorneys commit crimes in litigation.
Those crimes are ignored.
There are laws on the books to protect you, but you know what? Those laws are not worth anything if attorneys will not prosecute cases against other attorneys.
It's Gene Forte and AttorneyBusters.com.
He walks in the treetop all day long, hopping and a bopping and a singing his song. All the little birdies on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet.
Rockin' Robin, let it blow, rockin' Robin. Blow, 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 blow. Rockin' Robin, cause you're really gonna rock tonight, night, 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 night. Every little swallow, every chicken feet.
There's nothing wrong with reusing good material. So the next time you go shopping, buy stuff you can reuse. You create less waste, reduce pollution, and save energy and resources. Not to mention, come off sounding very cool. Buy smart, waste less, save more.
For more information, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
AttorneyBusters.com. I'm Gene Forte. In October 26, 2001, I submitted to the District Attorney's Office of Monterey County a request for an investigation of Judge Richard Silver. The reply was there was nothing they could do. On April 24th, I filed evidence in the morning at the Superior County Court of Monterey that implicates Judge Richard Silver, along with attorneys, in committing criminal conduct in Monterey County. That afternoon, Judge Richard Silver announced his retirement. Contact AttorneyBusters.com. Find out about the story that the local Monterey newspapers are too scared to report and are ignoring. Tell your friends in Monterey County to call in, listen to the program of AttorneyBusters.com Sunday between 3 and 4. This is AttorneyBusters.com.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking
kind of dumb with a finger and a thumb and the shape of a nail on her forehead.
This is Gene Forte. This is AttorneyBusters.com, and we're talking about Stephen Magritz and a case out there that ought to send chills up and down your spine. We're playing some clips so far of an interview I did with Mr. Magritz from his jail cell in Dane County, where he's awaiting 70 years in prison for what has been deemed paper terrorism of letters that we already have heard from Mr. Keneally, who is the corporate attorney counsel out there in Osaki County, that said none of these letters were physically threatening. They were just saying that the things that Mr. Magritz was going to do. Mr. Magritz told these people he was going to be filing liens against their property. He was going to be filing what was called UCCs, or Universal Commercial Codes of Credit, to let them know that they had done things that were not right. Let's hear this next clip here, and let's see what we've got here.
This is when you start the early trail becoming a paper terrorist.
Yeah, I guess that's when they would consider it, because now I started contacting these people individually, and they brought one of the supervisors on there, Clarence Besh, and looks like a very nice man, in his 70s, probably mid-70s, looks like a very honest man. Anyway, they brought him up there, and he was to testify that I had sent numerous mailings to him, and I thought, boy, this is pretty good. Keneally's using one of my own documents, and you know, it's good that he's bringing this out, because it evidences that these people have been ignoring me.
Well, let me give you a quote here for the audience. This is from the Osaki Press, Thursday, May 21st. This is a quote of I guess it's Supervisor Clarence Besh, said, Magritz has sent countless documents to his home address. Quote, I've received so much from Magritz that I've given up counting. I don't understand any of it, he testified. It's driving me and my family a little bananas. Be- because we don't understand why we're getting it. Yeah, okay, so this, folks, at best so far is, now, I got to tell you, this is one of the terrorist acts that Best has gone ahead and said has taken place to him. But we got another one we're going to talk about later about terrorism at the Piggly Wiggly Market. Okay, so go ahead.
All right, so now we have where Mr. Magritz goes to this proceeding and what was called an injunction proceeding, that the county supervisors want him to stop saying these letters of notice because they already realized they got themselves inside of some trouble here, and this man was not going to let go. Now, I went back to Mr. Keneally again, and I asked Mr. Keneally some questions regarding what was this terrorist group or this thing that Mr. Magritz was doing out there. Let's listen to hear what Mr. Keneally has to say about Mr. Magritz again.
This is
When you say his group, what group is this?
I'm not sure. We haven't put a name on it. Maybe the AG's office has. But, you know, we used to have in Wisconsin a group called the Posse Comitatus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're aware of that. They've pretty much, due to various prosecutions and things, been scattered or disbanded.
Mm-hmm.
He and several members of his family, his group, or whatever, attend all these hearings. They're always at our meetings and at our hearings. Now, I don't know if they have a name or if they're just concerned people with them or whatever. They accompany him and they file things on his behalf and with them. And so I call it a group. I haven't seen a name that they put with it. But it's more than him who travels to these court proceedings and to the offices and to the hearings. That's what I mean by that. I don't. They're not called like the Wisconsin Militia or the Wisconsin Christian group or that, not that I've seen. No, there's a group of people that he associates with.
Boy, that was a pretty long answer to a pretty short question I gave him. What is this group? Well, you know, it's not quite a, get kind of, well, you know, it could be their family. Oh, Mr. Keneally, I don't know if we're being totally honest here. In fact, let me go ahead and play for you now. I think this is the next clip from Mr. Magritz of a letter that Mr. Keneally sent to somebody. Let's see what we've got here.
Here's one that he sent to
Mr.
John
Keneally.
R. Evans, Chief Counsel, Wisconsin Department of Revenue, dated March 11th, and it has a State of Wisconsin received legal staff stamp on it. It says, Dear Mr. Evans, our county has been involved with this person for quite some time. Basically, this idiot is a tax protester who refused to pay real estate taxes on his land. He is a militia slash posse comitatus member, whatever fits in that category. Due to his failure to...
Whoops, sorry. Sounds like somebody kind of spoke with forked tongue there for a moment. Me, Mr. Keneally.
Category. Due to his failure to pay real estate taxes, Ozaukee County took title to his former land and evicted him and his group. The county now owns the land. Since he has refused to acknowledge the authority of any government, he has been filing thousands of pages of paperwork with all of our county supervisors, sheriff, judges, etc. He has now begun attempts to file with the IRS, with the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, parentheses, whomever that may be, end parentheses, and presumably with the State Department of Revenue, among other institutions. I wish to bring this to your attention so that you are aware of this activity by this group and the total lack of any legal basis for that. We ask that you investigate possible charges against him for his inappropriate use of the forms and processes of the various government agencies. I have enclosed copies of some of the letters I have received. We have thousands, as do all the members of the county board and elected officials of our county. They are very concerned that some action be taken soon to properly address this issue. Therefore, I am referring this to you for information and review. Please refer to the appropriate area for investigation and awareness that these items should not be filed or honored by your offices. If you need any information, certainly contact me, and I can provide you with that. This person and his group are embarking on a path of civil disobedience and misuse of the various government agencies such that many persons in this county are in fear for their person, family, and property and equate these actions to a terrorist activity. Therefore, we ask that you investigate this person and his group and take appropriate action. Sincerely, Dennis E. Keneally, Corporation Counsel.
Well, it doesn't sound like Mr. Keneally wasn't calling these guys some type of group to me. Now, we just heard the conversation before that I have Mr. Keneally, that Mr. Keneally was saying, oh, no, he didn't really call them a group or anything. No, maybe family members. But Mr. Magritte just read to me a letter that was sent by Mr. Keneally to several offices in Wisconsin. And he's saying that people were fearful of their persons. They weren't fearful for persons. You know what they were fearful of? They were fearful that they got caught. They got caught. Now, I'm going to take a quick break right now. We have from these recordings, because I happen to have on the line Mr. Stephen Magritte calling from the Dane County Jail. Do we have Stephen on the line with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Stephen, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay right now.
Did you hear the part of the conversation I just played?
I heard the last part, yes.
All right. Stephen, you know, essentially I'm trying to update these people as my listening audience out there as best as I can. Let me ask this question. Do you consider yourself to be a terrorist?
No way.
All right. I mean, what do you feel really happened here? If you can summarize it to me just a little bit for my viewing audience, tell my audience your position on all this.
Well, basically, I feel the way I put it in that affidavit of probable cause, that I'm a victim and a witness of crime. Well, anytime you tamper with government documents and conceal government documents from the proper authorities, you're dealing with some what I would call criminal activity.
And now you're talking about, you're talking about the concealment of documents whereby I'm about ready to play the conversations of Mr. Keneally, is that you believe that Mr. Keneally actually took court files out from the court, and those court files that he took out from the court were the documents that would have shown that you made a claim on that property.
That's correct.
And when you found that out, that is the thing they're trying to cover up right now.
Well, that plus the fact that he refused to correct the record when I tried to file that form PE-500, plus the fact that when I submitted my claim to the county, the entire county board, which was served on the county clerk by the sheriff, which is a necessary act before suing the county. You have to file a claim first and give them up to 120 days to respond. That claim that was filed with the county clerk disappeared, and the county board never heard my claim.
Well, okay. Now, also the other thing is, Stephen, I think you mentioned to me you tried to do everything possible legally so that you made sure that you would not be able to get in trouble, correct?
Right. That's why I documented it. If I was going to do something underhanded, I would not have documented everything that I did and put it in a public record in two different places.
Now, you were arrested after you appeared for an injunction hearing, this injunction hearing that they sought to get you to stop sending these letters that kept on putting a noose around their neck. Isn't that correct?
Right. It was basically, I feel the injunction was to prevent me from petitioning for redress of grievance under the First Amendment and from documenting Keneally's acts and actions, because I put everything in the public record.
Now, Keneally, you believe, did not act alone on this, though, do you?
No, he had probably, I don't know if you'd call it support, I don't know if you'd call it orders, but I'm sure it went up right to Attorney General James Doyle.
Attorney General James Doyle. Did James Doyle receive quite a bit of publicity about this gang you tried as a terrorist under the task force at that time? He did, didn't he?
Oh, quite a bit. It was in the Milwaukee paper. In fact, I think that was one of the things he was kind of running on, that he was being tough on terrorists.
Sure, lock up a terrorist like you and go to become governor-elect of Wisconsin. Isn't that what happened?
Right. In fact, Channel 4, of course I didn't see it because I'm in jail, but anyways, my wife called and said Channel 4 had a kind of a smear deal on me. They showed it on the 10 o'clock news, the Twin Towers in New York. I don't know what they showed, burning or crumbling down or whatever.
Now, were you involved that Twin Towers deal?
No.
Okay.
Not even close.
All right. Just making sure.
Yeah, well, anyways, they showed that picture of the Twin Towers, and then right after that picture, they flashed my picture on the screen. So they were talking about first international terrorists and then domestic terrorists. And this was before the election.
Right. Well, you know, Stephen, I'm going to be moving on to some other topics here all about you, and I want to play these clips I have of Mr. Keneally's where we get to these court documents that essentially Stephen had gone down to the clerk of the court of the clerk's office to look at the file, and when he went there, he brought a couple of witnesses with him, being his wife, another part of this group. In other words, anytime you have a group, if you bring your wife with you, you can be termed a group. And he went down there to get the files and look at the files, and what he found out was the files weren't there, were they?
No, they weren't.
And they were over at where?
Dennis Keneally's office, which was downtown from, well, it was downtown Port Washington, which is about 2 miles from the court.
Okay, now, folks, let's make this really clear for you. Just because Dennis Keneally is the attorney for the county, that does not mean that he is allowed to go to the court clerk and take files out of a court clerk's office and bring it over to his office. Because what happens when somebody does that, documents start disappearing. Now, you do show that you have a green card that was stamped showing that it was a return receipt showing that the documents that you had filed or sent to be filed at the court clerk's office had been received by them, but it was not put on their docket sheet. Is that correct?
Right. We have the green card because it was sent registered return receipt. It was also sent by way of certificate of mailing, which is what you can use. Actually, it's better than a green card in a court. And we also have certified copies of the documents from the court once they mysteriously reappeared in the file.
Okay, a couple of quick things here, and I'm going to talk a little couple of cliff notes. You were evicted from your home. Describe the eviction just a little bit for me, would you please, for our audience?
Well, I was on the phone. The sheriff had called. He said, "We're here." And I was talking to him on the phone, and there was a thud at the back door, at the patio doors, and about 9 guys rushed in with guns and shoved a rifle in my face and a pistol in my wife's face and screamed, get down on the floor, down on the floor. And so I just dropped the phone, and I went down on the floor.
All right. And they then handcuffed both you and your wife and took you out of there, correct?
Right.
All right. Stephen, look, I will tell you this, is that, first of all, I don't think you're a terrorist. I don't think you should have been tried as a terrorist. I think that the terrorists right now, I'll tell my listening audience, I think the biggest terrorists we have right now are the people that serve as county officials at times that think they actually have the ability to contact a DA and get a man prosecuted to become a terrorist, prosecuted as a terrorist, because this is a way we're going to silence any type of problem they have out there. And I know, people, we have a lot of problems going on overseas right now. We have 25,000 people going overseas to the Gulf. You want to know something? I really believe we got to keep an eye on what's going on in our country right now, because while everybody's looking over there at the terrorism going over on the other sides of our worlds, it's happening right in our own country. And when they pass this USA Patriot Act, they've set us up to go ahead and start arresting us just willy-nilly and throwing us in jails anytime we want. Any comment on that, Steve?
I believe that's correct.
All right, Steve, well, you know what? Stay right there. I'm sorry, we're going to. You want to say anything in closing to the audience?
No, except pray, because that's what's going to get me out.
Well, that, and I think I'm going to do my best at attorneybusters.com to try to bring this thing to the nation's attention for you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve. Look, thank you for calling, Steve. I'm going to get back to playing some of these clips.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, there's your terrorist for you, now awaiting sentencing for 70 years in prison. Let me play a couple more clips here, because it's really important. I really want you to hear some of these things that Mr. Keneally has gone ahead and told me. Now, I have like 3 hours of conversations of Mr. Magwitz and Mr. Keneally. We're going to make those available on CDs. If you call us up at the, go to our website, attorneybusters.com, get some of these CDs, make copies of these CDs, distribute them to people. And you know what? Do me a favor. Call the FBI. Call your politicians, you know, but call the FBI and tell them to contact attorneybusters.com. Let's put as much heat on the governor of Wisconsin and the attorney general's office out there as we possibly can. Let's let this Mr. Keneally continue to go ahead and state his side of the story, but let's also hear the other parts of the story that are out there. Call the FBI. Do something for Christmas, for God's sakes.
When you refer to these people, you're talking about Magritte specifically and the individuals that he was connected with?
Yeah.
And that was a regular group of people?
There's been a regular group of people that you can identify by their physical appearance that hang out with him. Yeah.
What do they look like? I mean, I can't...
Oh, boy, I don't know. There's a taller gentleman, a taller, more elderly gentleman, a shorter hair. There's a... One shorter gentleman, a beard somewhat like Magritte's, beard and a mustache, brown hair, more sinewy.
Would you classify these people more like tax protesters? Is that what they are?
Well, that's, if I was going to put a classification on what they were doing, yes.
Okay.
It would be more like a tax protester. I'm not saying they come as armed militia or anything.
Okay.
Classified from what our experience here was with them as... that'd be a tax protester. That's the basis for the whole thing, as far as I can figure. He just refuses to acknowledge any government right to claim taxes on any of his property.
Right.
Seems to be the bottom line.
Well, you know, that's not what Mr. Keneally put in his letter. Mr. Keneally referred to them as a militia or a posse comitatus. But in his conversation with me, he's saying, well, you know, I really can't define a name for their group. Do you think we should trust all the words of this Mr. Keneally? Let's find out what this next clip has to say. I think this is going to get to the point of talking about these documents at the court clerk's office. Let's see here.
He also stated that he had gone to a clerk of the court, right? He was informed, he said he had some witnesses with him, that the files were not there at the court clerk's office, but they were at your office.
No, the files have always been at the clerk's office. What the clerk of court does is when you get some of these papers that are just massively incomprehensible, they will send them over or ask me over to say, what do we even do with this? Do you understand what it is?
All right.
And I'll just say, well, this is what I think it is. This is what I don't know what it is. Put it wherever you file. It's in miscellaneous or whatever file. So, no, they are never kept here and were never kept here. If anything, they were sent down to me to look at to say, what is this, and back within a day or so. So, no,
oops,
we don't keep any of those files.
We
have copies.
You have copies of them, but you never had the physical files inside your office?
Not that I know of. I mean, if Jeff sent one over here, it was to look at. He may have sent one down. See, understand, these are thousands and thousands of files from registered deeds, county treasurer, and the county clerk and the county circuit clerk.
Right.
So
right,
nobody understands what these are because they are not legally comprehensible in any manner. So I review as many as I can, and often it's like I go to their office, sometimes they'll send it here, and then I send it right back. So
okay, now
it came here, it passed through, it was never kept here.
Well, it sounds like somebody speaking for a little bit of double speak there, I think. Forked tongue. Let's see. He said that, well, the documents never come here. They're never in my office. Well, if they're here, they only stay here for a day or so. Blah, 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 blah. Apparently, Mr. Keneally did have those documents in his office, and they came from the court of a clerk, and you can't do that. You cannot do that. But this is typical of what you call attorney double talk, especially if they got themselves in trouble. Let's hear another clip.
How this, quote, anti-terrorist group or special task group came in from the AG's office prosecute the case.
Yeah, that's a... Doyle created that for all kinds of... It came out of, I even think, from the history of the Posse Comitatus here and stuff, and some specialists. Now, how he related that to the terrorism task force, the federal one, I had no involvement in that.
Maybe it was your letter.
I do know that Roy Corte, who's the main prosecutor, is prosecuting, like, three or four other protest people, but not always with the property tax. They're kind of different areas, one next county to us and one in a county or two over. Tied it to the terrorism task force, I don't know. My personal view is I think, you know, it could have been handled as a, it would have been just as well as a normal criminal prosecution for the illegal filing.
Yeah, see, that's
my bottom line, but it's with them, and that's fine.
Maybe Mr. Keneally is changing his impression upon Wyatt went there because attorneybusters.com called him up and is asking him some questions. So, well, I don't really know why it got, you know, prosecuted up there like that when he's writing letters calling this guy a terrorist, right? Hey, listen, there's some more.
When you refer to these people, you're talking about...
Oh, 1 second. Let me get to another one here. I'm sorry. Let's see.
He also stated that...
Well, let's get to another one. Sorry.
To a clerk of the court.
Sorry, folks. Just bear with me. I'm not a professional at doing this. Let's take a look. What's this one?
How this, quote, anti-terrorist group or special task group came in from the AG's office prosecute the case.
Yeah, that's a big...
That's a big stretch. Let's go to this. I'm sorry, folks.
This is a $64,000 question for you, okay? Do you think that Magritte's should be classified as a terrorist under the USA Patriot Act?
You know, I don't know the act that well because I don't deal with it. What I know is it's a term that's kind of used, the paper terrorist term.
Yes.
The AG's office and stuff have kind of used and looked at it. I don't know, the harm and intimidation and things he's done here sort of makes me feel that there should be some great punishment for his acts, whether he would be a terrorist. I don't know the act that well. I don't deal with it.
I mean, do you think he should be, what we're going to get to, should he be elevated to the high crime of like an Osama bin Laden and
no.
a crash and plane?
No.
Okay.
I was hoping more that he was just more misguided than anything. We have in the county next door, we have another person at the AG. Prosecuting on somewhat similar things. And that person is somewhat been more reasonable, and I just thought Magritte seems like a smart person that would do that. But not like if you're talking international terrorists and that, no.
Well, folks, you know, we're almost out of time, and I've got to tell you...
However they tied it in with...
We've got a whole bunch more clips. We had clips of Jaco's wife saying that, yes, there was a machine gun pointed at her head. But she still believes that, number one, that you got to stand up for what you totally believe in, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to sleep at night. And I would have to say, folks, that if you don't do something to try to help this man out here, you shouldn't be able to sleep at night either. Because if we allow this stuff to take place, it's going to be taking place all across our nation. We have got to bring as much exposure upon the state of Wisconsin right now on the Steve Magritte story, so you do not one day end up sitting in a jail cell waiting to be sentenced to 70 years in prison as a paper terrorist. Now, contact attorneybusters.com. Tell us what you thought of this story. Let us know what's going on. This is going on all across the country. We've got to take our country back. This has been Gene 40, attorneybusters.com. Tune in next week. Find out more about the Steve Magritte story. It is going to shock you people. Absolutely senseless. Have a good weekend.
Oh, woman, oh, woman, oh, treat me so mean. You're the meanest old woman that I've ever seen. I guess if you say so.